My name is William Cole. I was here in College Station when his original injury happened, but I'm living back in San Antonio with my mom because she's been helping me with his recovery. I was in the military for 5 years, 10 months, and was medically retired with postmaster sort of history of TBI, some kidney issues, muscle issues, and I had compartment syndrome on my left wrist. And, got Hank after some doctors had suggested service dog could be a great way for recovery. And from the moment I had him, from a puppy, he changed my life without a doubt. I mean, he was by far, the best thing that I could ever wish for. So, he has meant a lot to me, through his whole, getting injured, it's been tough, hasn't been easy. But it's good to see him happy. It's good to see him moving around.
Your service in Afghanistan and Iraq?
Yes, sir.
Where were you stationed at? What kind of...
I did three deployments to Iraq, one to Afghanistan. I was with the 75th Ranger Regiment for three of those deployments, and I was with 1st Infantry Division for one of the other deployments to Iraq.
Which post was that?
My first deployment, I was in Mosul. My second deployment, I was in Baghdad. My third deployment, I was in Jalalabad, Afghanistan. My fourth deployment, I was in Tikrit, Iraq. So, four deployments and spent more time overseas than I did in the United States. That's what I signed up to do.
So, your home post in the U.S.?
It was Fort Benning, Georgia, and then Fort Riley, Kansas. So, and Fort Riley, Kansas, where I did the rehabilitation on my wrist post compartment syndrome. So I moved back to Texas, ended up getting Hank, and got him relatively quick, post military. And he has, done a lot for me. He's a great dog, and I mean, if there's one thing I could tell, any veterans with, having issues or having problems, is don't be afraid to go outside your comfort zone and do something that you wouldn't necessarily think, is orthodox or something, that you could see yourself doing. Because, I mean, it's the little things in life that'll surprise you, and I mean, he definitely surprised me with how he was able to help me. So.
I'm sure your story.
Hey, Gers, hey, buddy. Hey, get over here.
He's like, there's some food over there.
I'm sure your story, it's very similar to other veterans as far as your service time and the health issues that you suffered as a result of that. Can you kind of describe life before and after?
And my mom can help you with this, too. My mom was, she was... firsthand, observing it. As a kid, Hankers, settle down, buddy. I was a happy, cheerful kid, like any kid, I grew up in a great house. My mom raised me right. And, I was in the military, I lost a friend, and, I think my brain was always wired on deployment mode. When I got home, I had a hard time really adjusting to what was normal. I really struggled with that, and I had a hard time making decisions, day-to-day decisions, and it was tough. I mean, I found myself locked up inside of a room for the majority of the day rather than going out and doing things that a 25, 24-year-old male should be doing, and it was tough. I mean, it was, Hank was kind of a... He was a last resort for me, if you could say. I tried medication, I tried therapy, and it wasn't helping the way it should have. And so when I got in Hank, it wasn't overnight. It wasn't something that just took place. It took months, if not years, for me to finally, because it was like Hank was there, when I found myself wanting to stay in. Hank was there looking at me, saying, "Hey, you got to take me out, Dad." And it was one of those things where I found myself getting out. And then after I was getting out, I found myself liking to get out. And then when I did that, I found myself liking to go to parks. I enjoyed doing just things that, I wasn't enjoying anymore. And so slowly he was able to, pull me out of that little funk that I was in. And it's made a difference in my life quite a bit. So,
can you talk about the thoughts of... when you heard what happened with Hank, can you talk about how you kind of overcame that and the thought of losing, someone that had helped you get through so much in your life?
Yeah. when Hank was first hit, I mean, I couldn't really, you know, believe what was going on. And so it was pretty tough, you know, realizing that he might not make it. Or and so, you know, I called my mom, and my mom rushed down here, you know, because she knew how important he was to me. And it was tough, you know, realizing that he might not make it, and what do I do if I fall back to being the way I was before? And, you know, I was just thinking about a lot of things and worried about a lot more. And, you know, he was just, when I came and saw him the first time, when the doctors, you know, they had finally stabilized him. And so, you know, for the first 2 days, I wasn't even allowed to see him. But when I was finally allowed to see him, you know, he was just, you could just tell he was in a pretty significant amount of pain. You know, he's crying, he was whelping, and then when he saw me, he started crying even harder. And it was, you know, it was definitely rough seeing him in that condition and in that shape. But as the doctors gave, you know, a more positive prognosis, it was kind of like a stress was coming off of my chest day by day. And I knew that he was in the best hands here at Texas A&M, you know, veterinary hospital. You know, they are the best at what they do, and I understood that. And, you know, Dr. Kaufman, Dr. Mitchell, and all the other staff, you know, that were there, doing those surgeries and giving me day. They were calling me twice a day. They were absolutely, you know, amazing. And they, you know, I felt better that they were, that he was in good hands. And so, you know, when they finally told me he can come home, it was great seeing him. It was a lot of work, but it was 100% worth it. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. When I was looking for a service dog, I was contacting organizations like Pets for Vets, and looking for like a traditional route to go. You know, I didn't know how I wanted to go about the whole process, because it can be a lengthy process, and, you know, but you want to make sure you get the right dog for you, kind of thing. And so it was a day, I was in San Antonio, and I was home for, I believe it was Halloween or something. And I remember driving down the side of the road and seeing these dogs, these puppies for sale. And the mother was a therapy dog. She had been a therapy dog, and she had a litter of puppies. And I remember there was only one male left, and I mean, he just ran right up to me. And I was kind of, you know, thinking, you know, I didn't make an instant decision. I went home and thought about it, talked to some people, you know, about how easy is it to do this, and, you know, other decisions. And he scratches those scars all the time. But, you know, I decided to go ahead, and I knew it was going to be more work, because I would have to do a lot of the training myself and have, you know, people help me with his obedience and making sure he's doing the right things, because there are rules, laws, regulations with service dogs. And so I started training him, had him at 9 weeks old from, you know, a little baby. He could fit in my hands, and, you know, worked with him. And, you know, eventually got him registered with the U.S. Service Dog Registry. He had made it through, so he's 100% registered, and I've had him ever since. And, yeah, I mean, it's...
And what year was that?
That was 2012. It was 2012, yeah.
So October 2012.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
I mean, you got out of the military...
January 2012. January 30, 2012 was my date of separation. So
that's a... You separate from the military in January. You get him in October.
Yes, sir.
At what point did you start thinking to yourself, I've got some issues that need to be addressed and
You know, I've never really, you know, talked about this with other people. This is something I've always, you know, shared with my family, but I'm more than welcome to share that with y'all, you know, because I understand, you know, it's part of moving forward. It's, you know, part of making progress. And, you know, there was a time, probably July is always a rough month for me. It's an anniversary month. And so, you know, in July, it was a tough July. And it really lasted into September time frame. You know, I was just really in a muck. I couldn't pull myself out of it for some reason. Normally I could pull myself out of it, and I just wasn't able to. And you know, it had been suggested, you know, service dogs, they can help. And so it was during that time frame when I decided I really got to change something here, because if I don't, I'm going to find myself, you know, there's an alarming statistic in this country, and it's, you know, veterans and suicides and PTSD. I mean, it's more per day die of suicide than they do in combat. I believe the statistic's 23, 24 a day. And I mean, I just didn't want to become a statistic. I mean, I knew that, you know, it's, I should do something before I find myself in a position, you know, where I just didn't want to do something like that. So.
And then Hank was involved in the accident on which day?
Hank was involved on September 28th. That's when he was hit by the car.
Of this year?
Of this year, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, September 28th. And he was here for almost 3 weeks, or maybe right at the three-week mark. And like I said, Texas A&M has been fantastic. But what I really want to do more than anything is thank those who have donated. Thank those that have, you know, helped, you know, in just so many different ways. You know, it has been so overwhelming to, you know, get the response that this situation has had. And it's been humbling. It's been heartwarming. I mean, to everybody that has helped. I just wanted to say thank you. Without a doubt, it's meant a lot. And it's been truly a blessing. And because of those donations, I'm going to be able to donate a significant amount of money back to Texas A&M Foundation to help future veterans that are in certain situations like this one, so they can afford their bill. You know, through people blessing, you know, this situation, you know, Hank will be able to help others, and that's a pretty amazing feeling.
Have you talked to the driver that hit Hank but then brought him here?
No, I've never. I have no idea who it is. Hank. He just loves the way it feels. I've had no communication with the driver whatsoever. I don't know if the driver hit him and then left, or if the driver hit him and someone else took him. I understand that when the Department of Public Safety got there and Animal Control, that it wasn't going as fast as it should have been going. And a citizen, you know, just a passerby, picked him up, put him in the car, and took him. So to that person, I want to say thank you. But, you know, it's been very nice, but, I mean, I have not talked to that person. So.
Can you kind of talk a little bit more about, like, his road to recovery and
what that's like? Yes, sir. Yeah, so, Hank. Hank had two fractured scapulas, a C4, and he had, I mean, you might be able to help with this, sir. It was a pneumothorax that required, after a CT scan, a significant surgery in which they removed more lung on the left than they did the right, but he did have lesions on the right side that required, you know, surgical removal. But Hank's prognosis moving forward, today is a big test. You know, Dr. Coughlin's going to be seeing him today to see where he's going forward. But he is having some problems neurologically with his left arm and wrist. It comes down, and he comes down awkward on it. He doesn't really have control of it too often. He limps quite a bit. He's always licking that paw. So, and sometimes he'll stop and he'll sit, and it'll be at a weird angle as opposed to his other paw. So we're kind of hoping that there's not a very serious issue going forward. Hopefully it's something that he can, you know, it'll, you know, nerves can, you know, he, you know, regenerate, or I don't know medically what the right term is. So hopefully there's no types of serious damage there. But we're also going to look at his scapulas, make sure that those are healing correctly, because if they didn't heal correctly, I know that that's something they might want to look at. And then also his C4 in his spine, that can cause future problems going forward, you know, just various amount of issues. So I know they wanted to look at that and make sure that's healing correctly. Because I think the thing going forward is making sure that he's getting the care that he needs to live a healthy life. And that's the amazing thing about all the help and all the donations is, you know, that money that's not donated, that is going to help tremendously in if he ever needs another surgery. Or, you know, back in San Antonio, he sees a doctor in Texas A&M, and that doctor can work on getting a plan together if he needs, you know, injections or anything like that. It'll allow those types of things to happen. So that's kind of the plan going forward.
Okay, and so in this role of recovery, how has it been to almost, would you say, maybe switch roles? You know, this father provides.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, for the longest time, you know, Hank was taking care of me. You know, he worked wonders for me. I mean, he was a great dog, and you know, now it's reversed role to where, you know, I take him down. My mom lives on the second floor of an apartment, and every day I carry him down when he has to use the restroom. I take him down the stairs, and you know, it's just making sure, because he still wants to have fun, and you know, he's feeling better, and so he has these moments where he gets a little hyperactive, he gets a little excited, and so we have to kind of tone him down, stop him, and I'm just kind of watching over him, making sure he's not injuring himself further, making sure he's taking his medications. He's on quite a few medications, and it's just constant care and making sure he's healing the way he needs to be healing. And so for as long as that is, I'll take care of him. I mean, it's not a burden whatsoever. I mean, I enjoy doing it, and I'll continue to do it for however long it takes.